superestrellas internacionales. En gira este otoño, de invitado especial, J Balvin. Air Canada Center, 19 de septiembre. Boletos a la venta ya en todos los Ticketmaster outlets y online en Ticketmaster.ca. Para más información, acceda a EnriqueIglesias.com y PetoMusic.com. Produce AEG Live.
360FM.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor, hace calor.
A weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators: Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolas Cordero Ramirez. The World of Soccer. The World of Soccer.
Hello, Alison. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. And you, Cater? Ready for today's show?
Excelente, excelente. Ready for the show today.
I'm ready for the next 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be crazy. We were talking with Alison, some of the greatest players in the world are not going to be in the World Cup.
It is unbelievable.
You know, for example, on the weekend, Manchester City won the English Premier League title, the second in 3 years. And the great player of the match was Samir Nasri, which has not been called to France. You know? Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that, Alice?
I don't know what these coaches are thinking in 2014. I don't know, but apparently his girlfriend has a lot to say on Twitter.
Yeah, and not only that, because, you know, when Nasri started in Arsenal and played with Fabregas and also Van Pierce, he was amazing. Maybe today, because the style that Manchester City play, that is more, it's more type like Spaniard time. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel with that dynamic, but still, I was looking at the list, and you still have in there Patrick Evra. He didn't even play for Manchester United too much this year, and he's still there. And when Didier Deschamps said that he doesn't want Nasri to be playing on the bench, I don't know. It's the same like Alejandro Sabella say about Carlos Tevez in Argentina, or Esteban Cambiaso, that also was a great player in Europe. And you see Ashley Cole is not going in England, and we can say many names. Brazil.
Oh my God, don't even talk to me.
Yeah, because for example, you see the game here in Toronto when Robinho was playing, and we expected that Ronaldinho and also Kaká were going to be at least in the list of 30, but Felipe Scolari don't want those guys. Mm-mm. Nobody want the creative one now.
Exactly. No, this is going to be a really boring World Cup right now.
Yeah. What did they want? What they actually are thinking? Did they want to create some new stars in the business?
No, I think everyone is going like with a vision that is a war more than a game. So nobody want to play the creative players. Okay, so you have these guys like, you know, Ronaldinho, even when he is overweight, he's still one of the greatest in the soccer world, you know? Alison can tell you what the thing that he did with the ball.
Yeah. He's like a magician.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. He can take like the whole team and still score and still move and still pass. And I don't know. He's just like such a gift.
Yeah, because if you see the other forward that Brazil has are not near to that, you know? So, something that is going to be very surprising in all the leagues. Well, we will see what happens in 30 days. We hope to have a great World Cup, no boring one. We hope to have, like, for example, it happened in the English Premier League, that where the two teams that arrived first and second scored 102 goals in the season and the other 101. You want to see that kind of game. Like, certainly, Liverpool didn't win. The Cup was second. They lost by themselves the title, but they scored 101 goals, and they have Luis Suarez, Sturridge, Sterling. It was amazing to watch them. The same for Manchester City. They scored 102. And even the one who scored more goals was their third forward, not even the first, because Aguero was injured, And Negredo also was like know all the time in the field. So they put this Bosnian guy, Sheko, and he scored more than 17 goals in the season and scored the one that were precise to win the title. You know? So those that kind of games that are the one that you want to watch.
Yeah, everybody expected to be expecting to be a really amazing, entertaining World Cup now.
Especially because it's in Brazil, okay?
Yeah.
If
it's must
in,
be.
If it's in Europe, you can understand, okay, it's going to be tough, it's going to be work. But in Brazil...
Brazil, it should be the most creative, it should be the most uplifting.
Exactly, you expect that one, and it's not going to happen. But, you know, in some of the countries, like in La Liga, in Spain, everything is decided in the last minute. For example... Athletic Madrid has a 3-point advantage of Barcelona and five from Real Madrid. But the last game will be Atletico Madrid-Barcelona. And even if you don't believe it, Barcelona being 3-point behind, even if they win for 1-0, they're going to be champion. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think of that, Alison? You think that one is going to happen or Atletico will be able to... to maintain a tie until the end?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Especially because it's in the new camp, no?
I mean, no, but not even that, too. I mean, one of their best strikers is going to be, well, possibly out for it, at least not playing 100%.
Yeah, Diego Costa. All the strikers in Europe are getting injured, no? Because if you see Ronaldo couldn't fight until to the bitter end for Real Madrid because in the last game versus Valladolid, he injured himself again. And so he didn't play versus Celta, and Celta defeat Real Madrid 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
So Real Madrid, with all his million, he couldn't do anything. Right now they have 84 points. They play Espanyol in the Santiago Bernabeu. Barcelona will receive Athletic Madrid with 89 points versus 86 in the last thing. And I don't know, it's going to be magic still because, you know, Messi's very hungry and angry. He even said, I want to win this one for our coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a player can get motivated, something can be happening, no?
There's also some rumors. I was watching a little talk with Messi, and he was mentioning that his current Barcelona coach now may or may not stay with the team, but also may or may not be the coach of Argentina in the future.
Yeah. Well, Gerardo Martino was a great player. I remember this one because we used to do something with Marcelo Bielsa, the Olympic champion in Argentina. And that coach has Martino in Newell's Old Boy, a team that was famous in his time. And the guy was pretty amazing. Maybe as a coach with Paraguay or now with Barcelona, it's not the same. But I think the current coach in Argentina, he will have a lot of problems because he didn't call some players that are also like in Brazil. They expected Carlos Tevez in the team. They expected Esteban Cambiaso to play for Argentina. Mm-hmm. And they don't know if Messi by himself is able to win the World Cup. He even was saying the other day, he said, I don't have anything to prove to the FIFA people that if I win or not win the World Cup because I know what I am. So what is he meaning with that? He meaning that he's not going to win the World Cup or he is not up to the challenge, to the pressure that is going to happen there?
It is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but you know, Alison, you have played for a national team. I know it's different when you play for your regular, competitive, professional team, but when you go to your team, I think something has to motivate you to be better than...
Yeah, I mean, whenever you're playing for your country, it's the idea is you're representing not just yourself, not just your team, not just your coach, not just your training staff, but you're representing a nation. And I think that just alone with that, the idea that, you know, you're living other people's dreams is just...
The exam is bigger. The pressure is a lot. Yeah. You represent the country. It's not like one more game or any other game. It is the country. The whole entire country. It is like the passion goes along with it.
Yeah. And for example, I was watching yesterday in ESPN a documentary about Jimmy Connors, the tennis player, when he was 39 in 91. And he was playing this tremendous tournament where he defeat player in five sets in the last minute. And all the people at the U.S. Open were cheering for him. And it's the same thing that is going to happen when they play in Brazil. Argentina revenue agency is saying that they are going to check all the Argentinian traveling to the World Cup, because that Argentina is the second country that is bringing more spectators to the World Cup.
Exactly.
Wow. And they said that there is no money for that. So every single game...
There is no money for that. There's many people saving every single penny since a long time ago to go to that.
I'm working hard, because even in my family, there is 10 people that are going.
10 people from here, from Canada.
Yeah, and they're working like a dog, man, to get $4,000 for the food accommodation and the ticket, but they want to go and see those amazing games, no? Like Germany, Colombia, Brazil, Argentina.
What do you think about Pickerman with what happened with Colombia?
Pickerman is an Argentinian coach. He's very methodic. He was a world champion in under 20 and 17. He was the one who brought Messi to the level that he was at that level.
He did a really good selection in Colombia?
Well, Colombia has a lot of players, no? So it's very difficult and tough, because you have those guys like James Rodriguez, Falcao, Cuadrado, Yepes, to name some of the name. And you have other that are Valencia, Torres, you know? You have many that can make a lot of impact in the World Cup, but still...
You think it's missing something there? It's missing somebody?
Yeah. There can be some players that are, for example, player from Atletico Medellin that I was playing so amazing, but in the playoff they were defeated very badly. It's something.
Yeah,
that
you have to take account every single one of the last movement the players are doing, so you can take it into account to bring it to the World Cup, because... You want to bring the best of the best, and he think that that's the best of the best. It is a good team, even though.
Yeah, Colombia has a good team, and they will play in a group that is not going to be so difficult for them to pass to the second round. The problem is that if they win that round, eventually Colombia will go and play versus Brazil immediately. If they get second, they will play the winner of where is Germany. And the other group that are in the one of the group of death. No?
I don't think within the Colombian group is so easy. Ivory Coast is really good team. They have a really good team since like a long time ago.
Yeah, but you know, this is a very good team. But when they played the last game on the qualifying round in South America, they were defeated 3-0 in the first half by Chile. And Colombia was going out.
Of course, it would be about Chile.
Colombia was going out with that one. And then they tied 3-3 because the coach in Chile made some mistake, took the three-verse player, and they tied 3-3.
No.
And then 5 minutes to go, Colombia decide not to pass the midfield. They start passing the ball between them, not passing the midfield. It's something that I saw in... You're too young to know that one, but when
she have watched many games.
Spain 1982, Austria and Germany play a game of no damage, no harm. They play to tie 0-0, because they knew if they tie 0-0, they didn't allow Argelia to pass to the other round, and the African has an amazing team, and they play to no harm themselves. And looking at that game, Chile, Colombia, I get a little bit discouraged with Colombia players like that, because a team has to have the killing instinct when they have the...
They have to go for it.
They were losing 3-0. They are 3-3. They have the ball. They have to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They have to go for it. Guess what? There's 1.1 million assistants from Brazil that are going to go to the World Cup. From the United States, it's 187,000. From Alemania, from Germany and England, there are going to be 56,000. And from Argentina, 55,000. From Colombia, 51,000. From Chile, it's going to be 35,000. Mexico, 29. And guess who's next?
Canada.
Oh.
Can you believe it? 28,000 people have bought the ticket already to go to the World Cup?
Yeah, because even if it doesn't seem, Canada has people that are passionate about the soccer. It doesn't look.
It doesn't look like it.
But it doesn't look, but they are. For example, look at our panel of commentators. You don't see the people here. Giuseppe Pecorelli. Is buying Bari of Italy, of Serie B, to bring it to Serie A. Okay? Bari was there. Today is trying to sign the money and the paper to get that team. Juan Carlos Ramirez Gaston, that was another of our commentator, he's the owner of Internacional de Toronto, and he brought a coach player like Norberto Solano that used to play for Peru, Aston Villa, West Ham, Newcastle. And you see many other people that are doing investment overseas. There is some Russian millionaire that are investing in teams in Europe.
Are you getting ready for the 26? Well, that would be awesome. That would be amazing.
For the Olympics, you?
No. 2026, to see if we can get many people. There's so many countries waiting for it. That Canada joining in, just brand new country. They won't be like...
Well, you know, we were talking with Alison, our friend Harold Maynickel is launching tomorrow a new book called... Historia Sudamericana en la Copa del Mundo, South American Stories in the World Cup, 1930 to 2014. This guy was the president of the Chilean National Federation, FIFA media officer in all the World Cups since 94 to 2010, the chairman of the Inspection Committee for FIFA for Russia 2018 and Qatar 2022. And there is many things to watch because we were talking with him and the most difficult problem for Qatar is that they presented their bid to play in the summer, and in the summer it's 55 degrees. So the Sheikh said
Celsius.
They said, oh, okay, we're gonna put air conditioning in all the stadium, but it's not only that; it's the people that go there, exactly. It's the training venue. So then Europe wanted to move it to January, February, and we were discussing with Alison, with Nicolas, if that one makes sense and make the feedback to our friend Harold, no? And certainly it's complex sometimes.
It is
there is many,
complicated.
many things because, you know, even the situation on those countries where men are only the one allowed to play soccer or to go to the stadium. For me, it's a little bit disgusting, okay? I can tell you, when you see those kind of things, that women cannot be equal to men when they participate at the same level.
They have still a lot of things to overcome.
No?
And that situation, moving the World Cup from summer to winter, is going to be a kind of complicated situation.
And not only for the competition. It's for the television and the radio.
For everything.
You cannot change. For example, NBC that I pay so many billions for the right, you think they are going to change from June, where they already have signed the sponsor, to January, February.
When you're going to be under 10, minus 10, minus 15, are you going to be going out to cheer for anybody? That's going to be a kind of complication as well.
It's complex like that. And soccer is very complex for that reason, you know? There is so many, in this country, there is so many talented players, men and women, that I can play whatever they want, but still there is no... the right environment for them to develop. There is, you know, when you see, we were talking with Alison the other day. I went to a conference where a former national coach was teaching to the kid passing, and he was doing the most wrong thing. He was passing the ball to a child running diagonally with the out of the foot with a spin. So the player was running there, the ball was going out. So the player, instead of receiving the ball, going front to the other net, he was to turn around, try to control it. It was not easy when go to the spin. And that guy is the instructor for the Ontario Soccer Association and the Canadian Soccer Association.
You think there's many space to improve?
Well, there has to be a new coach and instructor, people who knows. How are you going to coach like that? How are you going to coach tactics that are 40, 45 year old? That is something that has to change, man.
Yeah, and I mean, like, just in any other sport, I mean, but especially with soccer, everything's changing. Everything's I mean, you know, getting that much more intense, like training in general. I was following this girl on Instagram a few weeks ago, and I mean, she was sending me videos of her training, and her coach had her, I don't know, just kind of moving in front of a wall, and he had a tennis court and tennis ball. He would smack the ball off the wall, and she had to control a tennis ball.
Yeah.
And I mean, just little things like that. And now they're having at the academy I was with, PSSA, they're trying to do more technical things with having light up nets where, I mean, this was, I mean, a few years ago they started doing that where you have to, you know, turn and shoot at the net that lights up.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just like a start for Canada, but that's already been going on in Europe for years.
For years, no.
But if we're not changing our coaching, then we're only going to get lower and lower. Something has to change.
And it's terrible because you see that one. How you can stay silent when those things are happening? They don't like it when you say it. Okay.
But you have to say it because the experience has to talk in some point. And whether you want to do it now or you want to do it like 10 years down the road, mm-hmm. it's going to be hurting Canada. It's going to be hurting everything that we're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Look, for example, to the coach that I won the English Premier League. It seemed a small thing. But we have a crisis in our country, and the technical director brought all the coaching methodology from France that at that time was bringing from Platini up to Zidane, okay? So they have new methodologies, they have new courses. We started together with this guy, Manuel Pellegrini. We even played together in some games, me as a goalkeeper, he as a central defender. We were organized to change the way that a soccer was done in our country. We went away from World Cup for two World Cups, almost 10 years. And now we are 12th in the world. Maybe we're not going to win the World Cup. But all the coaching methodology from the grassroots level to the professional level changed with a common methodology. Tactic can change, okay? You maybe want to play with more forward than me, but the methodology, what she's saying, the way that they are training, like 25 years ago in Europe or in other continent, are doing that one. If we don't do that one here, we're not going to get far away. The other day, Canada, Taiwan won in a friendly versus United States. But United States didn't even bring Alex Morgan. That if Alex Morgan is on the field, I can tell you that we wouldn't tie at all. Okay? And the new players that are coming from that system cannot come with coaches that are afraid of the thing. You cannot say, we're going to play an under-20 World Cup, and the coach say, well, all the countries has raised, so we don't know. We are the host, but we don't know if we can win. My God, you know, if I tell that one to my player, I wouldn't be sitting there.
Exactly, it's not.
Oh, no, Alison.
It's not encouraging.
You want a coach that want you to win the World Cup, or a coach that said, oh, maybe we can get to...
No, you always want to go into a game, a tournament or whatever, believing, like, your coach believes in you and in your nation. Again, the same thing.
Because if you know what is the point for the guy being there.
It's like you're not going to a tournament and losing. Yeah. That's, why would you go to the tournament and just be embarrassed?
This is a World Cup that is going to be played here.
Exactly.
This year, in August. So you must mention those guys that are... They need to make a 360 turn, okay? Like your radio 360 turn, and think about all the things that they have in their mind and change it and go something different. So
What do you think about what Zico says about regarding to Uruguay, comparing like, he's not afraid about Brazil getting together with Spain or with this Germany. But he's completely afraid and scared, kind of being playing with Uruguay, and something happened like 1950.
Well, the thing is that Uruguay is a country that is very small, and they don't even have 10 million people.
It is 3 point something.
Yeah.
Plus tax.
Yeah, exactly. And you've seen all the players that they have played internationally. Only two. For example, Luis Suarez was the top player in Europe.
Yeah, most of the players from Uruguay are
playing
out of the country.
Cavani is playing amazingly in France. So, and you had Diego Forlán that was the best, the MVP in 2010. And you had the coach that is a coach that, even though it's organized, is a free thinker. So he gives the player, when they are in the field, the freedom to decide when they are with the ball what they have to do. No, if you have the ball there, you pass it here, you pass it there. No.
It's not a structure.
That is he's a structure, but he freely sees. It's like a,
so he's not afraid to speak what he sees.
Yeah.
So like if he sees something working and then he goes with it. So it's not just like you have to do it this way.
Exactly. And that is the way that it has to work because, for example, here in North America, you don't do it in the game pattern that they want. You are in trouble because you don't listen to the coach.
But it's basically the trust, as we spoke about it before. It's the trust you have to put into the player so they can take some decision when they see the space, when they see the opportunity. They are there because they can see some opportunities.
For example, if you see Messi, Neymar, or other players, Ronaldo, when they are approaching the penalty area, You're not gonna tell them to pass the ball to the back because they are going on a speed with the ball in their feet. So they are gonna try all those fancy things that you get accustomed from Neymar, Messi, or Ronaldo. No, that you dribble, they move, they go around the ball. The other player look at them, they don't know what they are doing. How are you gonna stop that one?
Yeah, you have to let
them
go.
You are not gonna tell the players to try.
But those ones are players already, big players. But the other one that are just there, they have as well a quote, a part of it, part of the business, part of the show, part of the game, that they have to take some decision. Thinking about what the instructor said, but as well taking decisions.
What Alisson said, for example, I remember this coach. I used to go a lot to Brazil and to go to the main professional team training. And one of the coaches said, look, the thing that we have in the Brazilian method is not like it's so much a structure, but we have 600 different exercises with the ball where you have to dribble. Mm-hmm. 600 dribble exercise. So it's like you learn 600 steps of dancing. So when those guys are on the field, you know what they do, okay? While here you have to pass the ball back, you have to be in a certain way. My goodness, you have to give, players are the one who make the thing fun.
Yep.
Okay. How's the game here? How many steps they have? Few? 100?
Two?
It's no. Kind of different. There's another difference within Canada because we're kind of new within the game compared with, for example, for Brazil.
Yeah.
It's way too much.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at it like this. I had an exhibition game on Monday and I was really, I don't know. Canadian soccer is predictable, I find. I knew where players were going. I knew what was going to happen because it's such a slow game. It's too much thinking for players. When you look at Brazilian players and their creativity, it's not just the creativity, it's how fluent they are with the ball. And it's because they've learned when they were young how to, like you said, the steps. They know what combinations work when. They're confident in their playing style and taking players 1v1. And I think that we lack just knowing steps, just knowing what to do with the ball, when to do with the ball, and that's what makes us really predictable. We know if we get the ball on the wing, we're going to run down, we're going to cross it, and then we're going to have a counter, and then we're going to run back, and then it'll be a scramble, and then it'll be back in the other end. And I mean, it's just predictable. You know what's going to happen exactly when. You know when someone's going to shoot. You know when they're going to pass it back. It's boring soccer.
And people, for example, in those countries, don't pay to watch boring soccer.
Yeah.
You go to a stadium and to watch a game that is entertainment. Either it's high intensity, maybe not with so much technique, but it's high intensity. But in Latin America, in the countries that I know, Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Chile, Uruguay, sometimes Ecuador, and now even Venezuela, they play for the fun of the game. I haven't bring my brother, Mario, that I was a player, that you can compare his technique to one that Maradona, Pelé, Ronaldinho has. So when he watch a game, he get not only bored, he get upset. He said, this guy are paid $60 million, yeah, and they don't even know what to do when they are in front of another player. Mm-hmm. It's not so difficult.
You have to impress me. You know they're just to be a normal people, regular game players.
Yeah, because look, man, we have a player in our country that's supposed to be one of the greatest in the world, Alexis Sanchez. That guy, when he started, oh my God, you couldn't imagine when he came here to Canada, all the dribble, today he played in Barcelona, and as she said, he's predictable. He get the ball by the wing, pass it back, run a little bit, get the ball, has no space, pass it back. Mm-hmm. And before was a guy that he has three players in front of him, and he passed it. He passed between them, you know.
He took chances.
And you have to. You have to, because if you don't do it, how are you going to do it? I always tell my player, soccer is not a game of possession, because possession never made you win a game. You win a game when you had scoring opportunities. Okay, if you get to pass the midfield, like being the other side between 7 to 10 seconds, if you have the ball possession, as you say it, 60%, you have at least 60 opportunities of goal in a game, at least.
Let's see how things are going to come.
And you see the statistic now today. Oh, they shoot 7 times to goal, 2 on target. 7 times again to on target. Mm-hmm. How could it be? You go to Brazil and tell you, or Frenzarkis has Juventude Armenia play on the weekend versus Palmeiras and Corinthians and San Paulo. And those game in futsal, 3-2. But you cannot imagine how is that. That one is, you know, you don't see the ball. You see magic. You see magic. Those players, Falcao, Pinilla, Or even in the women, Paola Botero, you don't see those players here or in Europe. You see it there. You see it the way that they go with the flow and how the people, my God, what she's going to do.
It is completely different Canada game than anywhere else in the whole entire world's game.
Look, for example, when Alison played for the national team, I knew that she has the opportunity to score, she always will score in a game. Or at least she will make other players to score. Why? Because she was fast, she ran to the space. When she didn't have an angle to score, she passed the ball to the player coming in front of the net. So that player, she didn't put it on the goal. My goodness. Okay? Because you are in front of the goal. In front of the goal, there is only one way that you can shoot. Either you shoot to the goalkeeper and she stop it, or you shoot it to a side and you're going to score. Like a pass, the goalkeeper cannot do anything against that one. Mm-hmm. You know? And those are the kind of things that has to change. We have to change that mentality that is possession of the ball, like it's going to happen in the World Cup. That is something that are going to have 80% of the ball, and still they're going to lose with a counterattack because it happened. Or there is teams that are certainly, they will have the possession and they have the player.
Yeah.
To really impress. And when you have those players, like for example, in the Colombia futsal in men and women, or even Brazil men and women, you know, you have players that can decide a game on the spot. And I'm going to miss Ronaldinho, even though he was overweight, because he will be a greater player than Hulk or Joe, even Fred. I'm going to miss Robinho, even though I hate the guy, you know. Yeah, I hate it, because I'm going to tell you why. That guy, every time he played against Chile Chile get defeated.
He's bleeding.
No. She get defeated. We get defeated 5-0, 4-0, and he always scored 3 goals, man.
Yeah, he's bleeding.
3 goals. I know. The guy is cocky. And that is cocky. But he's good. You had to miss those guys.
You had to go and see those games. It's different games.
You make me choose between Kaká and Ramírez. I will choose Kaká 100 times because Kaká is a thinker. Kaká is a person with creativity. Ramírez is a guy that in the middle of again, either for Brazil or Chelsea, he has to kick another guy. He doesn't even think. And he get a lot of yellow card, red card. Why are you going to have that player when you have Fernandinho, that I play for Manchester City, that is a great player, to say something, you know. So those kind of things are in the next 30 days are going to come very clear. What is this World Cup is going to be? It's going to be fun. I like it to be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, going to a stadium like in Maracana, I used to play in Maracana one friendly between a former soccer player and journalist. And you cannot imagine what is it being Maracana. The grass was very bad condition, but playing there or playing even in São Paulo at Morumbi, was like, oh my God, this is a dream. I can't believe that I'm here. And you are with players like Socrates, Valdano, Caselli. We're talking to guys that were a legend. They are playing. And if you, that are only a journalist, that I can do that, but you see all the people on the stadium looking at the game and on the street, you know, you see that it's going to be a passionate World Cup. The Brazilian, as you said, are afraid of Uruguay. It's like a ghost.
Exactly.
It's like a Robinho for my country. Okay. You know?
The Brazilian are just thinking that they don't want to face that situation again, because that have been like 70 plus years already, and it's been like a bad dream for all these years.
But those bad dreams always happen in soccer.
That one with the Maracanã.
You know, in the UEFA Champions League the other day, who will think that Real Madrid was going to win both games? At home, because they win 1-0 and everyone was in their side, not even Ronaldo moving the other
That's
side.
That's easier.
And then the other game, they won 4-0 when a team like a Bayern that is supposed to be the dominant club in the world in the last 2 years. How you can expect that one?
And a lot of guts.
You know, and it's going to happen again with many teams, maybe Ghana, maybe Cameroon. Those are teams that are, you know, are bringing players that are put something on the field, like Dobra, mm-hmm. Eto, players that want to score and go for that. And I want Africa to get to a place where they deserve to be. They had won Youth World Cup, especially Ghana, and they had great team, Ivory Coast, Ghana, and even now Belgium. We were talking with my son, and Belgium has, from Kompany, that is the captain for Manchester City, Fellaini, who played for Manchester United, Hazard, that played for Chelsea, and they have like 11 players that play at top level. And that one, it will be a team to watch, believe me. Those are the teams that you don't think too much about it, but when they have that amount of talent and they are going to be playing, you can see something different, you know.
Before the 31st are going to be the list of every single one of the 32 nations that are going to come up. So we're going to be just seeing who is going and who's not going for every single one of the selections.
Well, June the 6th is the last day that they have to officialize the list. And that one is going to be tough because now it's 30. Imagine when they have to be 23.
Yeah, more complicated.
You don't want that one. As a coach, you hate it.
It is complicated because you have to pick and choose.
Yeah,
it is complicated, but you have the opportunity to choose the best, what you think is the best.
Yeah, but how do you choose? I choose with a ranking. In my case, it's different. I choose with a ranking because, you know, I have seen in the case of women's soccer that the United States, compared to all the other nations, has been successful. And the way that they work is through rankings, ranking from physical, psychological, technical, tactical. So you have a ranking for each.
You take the average item, and who's better.
And you have an average and you ponder those ones, which one has more emphasis, no? And then you have the 22 players that you need to bring.
Exactly.
Those numbers never lie.
Because based on the numbers, is you more likely go with a really good team.
For example, Alison likes the high-intensity game, and she's a coach in a team, and she wants to bring that one to the field, and she has to do a 20-meter run test. She won't bring players that are 4 seconds in the 20-meter run, even though they are the most technical in the team. Because 1 second and 2 centiseconds apart,
it make
you like believe me, 7 to 10 meter different.
You can feel it. The ball can pass by you anytime.
And when you're running, as she said that she wanna do, a high intensity, you know, if you run 30 run as a winger or as a forward, even as a midfielder, with a 1.2 second different from the other guy, you will get past 30 times that you can score. Maybe you're not going to score all of them, but at least you have higher chances. Put a slightly chance that in 30 runs you score 10%, 3 goals. And it shows. You look at the games. The teams that run faster than the other one, they are always winning.
So let's take the numbers. Numbers are always works. Averages always works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in some cases, yeah. I mean, a number is just a number to a player, but it's, I think, the best way to see progression too. With players for development at young ages, you know, someone who may run, you know, 4 seconds in 10 meters and then the following year runs 3.8 in.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's when you really start seeing, like,
But adult level is more like absolute, Alison, because, you know, adult level, you're not going to change in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you are a player that is an adult and you are 21 and the other is 35. Those kind of speed, it won't change too much. So you don't have a choice there. Mm-hmm. Because, if I put you and I put a player that ran 4 seconds and you run a 3, you always will be ahead of that person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you run 3.2 kilometers in the Cooper test and the other run 2 kilometers, you still are going to last a kilometer and a half for each 12 minutes. So in a game, you're going to run 6 kilometers more than those players.
Yeah.
So still it shows. It's a number for a player. I understand that. But, you know, you have those things that are subjective. Look, when you see at the technique, okay, some player can pass 100% precise. They can cross 100% precise. They can hit 100% precise. But when it's time to creativity, to dribble, to all those kind of things, how they apply that? And that's the thing that you put in a balance sometimes too. I understand that, and that's the way that I usually choose the player.
This is the technical point of view from the coach point of view as well.
Yeah, but Alison is a player and a coach, and I was a player too. And believe me, when I started playing competitive and I went to play for a professional team, I was 14 years old, man. And the goalkeeper that I was 18 and the other 20, they told me, okay, we are the one who will play here. I said, we will see. The coach select me. I will be here. Until I left university and the thing professionally, I always was the starting goalkeeper. And even when I play with this guy, Pellegrini or Juan Hernandez or all those World Cup players, I was the one playing there. And when I didn't play goalkeeper, I was central defender or midfielder. Because I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. I trained to be there. Look, now I'm old and overweight, okay? But I was 55 kilos. I was skinny than Alison,
mm-hmm.
okay? I wanted to be fit. I wanted to run. I wanted to, you know, my coach said, we have to win, and I was for that.
Exactly.
And when you are a coach, you want those players. You want those players that feel motivated by themselves for the task that is ahead, okay? It's not so nice to win a game.
It is nice. It's good to be in the game, but it's better to be winning.
Yeah, when you are 5 years, we have a couple of teams that we were 5 years with one, 3 years and a half with the other one, without losing any single game in any competition at top level. Never, ever. You know, what is that to play 5 years and not lose a game? And you said, well, maybe we're experienced players. No, in some cases we're 17, 16 year old that I play in professional team, but I was 17, 16. Okay, I was the older one in those teams.
Wow.
And not for much, like a 7 year, but still, I was the older one. I was the one who, the enforcer, no? But the other guys that were young, they run, they push, they do. Well, I think we talked too much today.
Okay. The time has come.
Okay, Alison. Well, see you next week. I think it's going to be nicer to see what happened the next few weeks with the player, because mm-hmm. some of them are going to get injury with this definition at the end of the leagues.
Mm-hmm.
We will see what happened. I hope nobody get injured like Ronaldo, Messi, or those kind of players, because you want to see them in the World Cup.
You want to see good soccer.
Bye-bye, Cater.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Thank you, Alison.
Thanks for coming.
360FM.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor.
A week
weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators. Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolas Cordero Ramirez. The World of Soccer.